The Caribbean Today, a digital news panorama by the Latin American News Agency from Havana, Cuba. Today is Wednesday, August 2, 2023. The 60-year U.S. blockade against Cuba has caused serious damages, particularly to communications ministry, an official source informed. The first deputy communications minister, Wilfredo González, told Cuban news agency losses amounted to $104,155,170 from August 2021 to February 2022. In this period, Atexa, that is the state-owned telecommunications company, was the most affected, reporting $53,957,100, which accounts for 51.8% of the total amount, González detailed, while assuring that if this unfair U.S. policy had not existed, the speed of current digital transformation process would have been different for Cuba. González condemned the hostile and unjust blockade continues to be a major drawback for a better information flow and wider access to the Internet and information communications technology for the Cuban people. He specified that limitations on technologies and equipment produced under license or using U.S. components are significant, forcing the country to turn to other markets much farther than the United States, which means much more money for any supplies. The business meetings at the first International Cuban Sports Fair are on their second day this Wednesday with the presentation of the exportable goods and services offers within the framework of the Business Forum of the Cuban Sports System. The investment forum at the first International Cuban Sports Fair 2023 showed the potential in the sector of the island. According to Manuel Cumbrado, Deputy Director of ProCuba of the Ministry of Foreign Trade and Foreign Investment, the lines of the projects presented are in line with the country's priorities. ProCuba and Cuba Deportes S.A. executives signed a memorandum of understanding for the promotion of business opportunities with foreign capital and the exportable supply of goods and services. Within the business forum of the Cuban sports system, the signing of a collaboration agreement will take place between the company Cuba Deportes S.A., associated with the Cuban Sports Institute, and the musical recordings and editions company EGREM. The fair was inaugurated this Tuesday in Havana, a sports city, and has the participation of 123 companies from 13 countries. Cubans recall every day the legacy of emancipation and solidarity of the historic leader of the revolution, Fidel Castro, whose 97th birthday will be celebrated on August 13. 7 years after his death, his legacy continues to mark Cuba's efforts to consolidate its sovereignty and independence and the permanent improvement of the socialist system in the light of the United States' hostility and the tightening of the blockade imposed by that powerful nation for more than 60 years. After arriving in Havana on January 8, 1959, leading the rebel forces that had defeated the Fulgencio Batista dictatorship, Fidel Castro was already a living legend. Since then, he has become a paradigm of a revolutionary man in Latin America and the world. The Havana-based Jose Martí International Journalism Institute launched a vocational training course to bring children between the ages of 8 and 15 closer to the art of photography. Mercedes Muñoz, coordinator of the initiative called First Pixels Workshop, explained to Prensa Latina that it was conceived to provide a learning space and encourage creation while serving as vocational instruction and to take advantage of the time during this holiday period in a pleasant and useful way. This aims to bring children closer to the basic tools and primary concepts of photography, Munoz added, and recalled that this initiative was created by the center in 2010. Although it was interrupted during the years of the COVID-19 pandemic, the course taught by award-winning photojournalist Reno Masola includes a practical workshop at Havana's historic Finca de los Molinos, a botanical project and home to the museum dedicated to Máximo Gómez, an iconic figure of Cuba's wars of independence against Spanish colonialism. The recent tour of Central Eastern Cuba by the Juan Rios Rivera Solidarity Brigade serves to consolidate the ties between Puerto Rico and Cuba. Its members came to Camagüey for the fourth time, and on this occasion, the visit at the end of July served to recognize the Cuban public health system, despite dozens of difficulties caused by the economic situation at the mercy of the effects of the U.S. blockade. The members of the brigade coincided in Camagüey with the day of celebration for the 55th anniversary of the Eduardo Agramonte Piña Pediatric Hospital. Since 1991, the Solidarity Brigade has visited Cuba with a message of peace, support, and love for the Antillean people, whose reality makes it a source of admiration for Puerto Ricans who love just causes and leftist struggles. And in the international agenda, we have that. Only 4.4% of young people with the possibility of voting in the 2024 elections in El Salvador have regularized their situation, official figures show. The National Registry of Natural Persons, which issues identity certificates, said that of the nearly 56,000 young people aged 17 eligible to request their single identification document in advance, only 2,500 did so and will be able to register in the electoral roll, whose registration closes on August 7. By not obtaining their single identification document, these young people will not be able to go to the polls on February 4, 2024, when the presidential elections will be held in the country. Established, the national electoral roll closes on August 7, 2023. Therefore, young people who turn 18 between August 8, 2023 and March 2, 2024 may apply for the single identification document in advance until August 7. Due to the political disagreements, lack of interest, or whatever the reasons may be, data indicates that a significant sector of the population will not vote in the upcoming elections. Meanwhile, people displaced by violence in Haiti asked authorities for help to return to their homes and denounced the subhuman conditions in which they survive. More than 350 families were sheltered in educational centers after the Crazy Barrier gang led by Vitalome Innocent attacked residents in the capital's Fort Jacques neighborhoods in Patienteville, as well as Troutier and Dumournay in the municipality of Tabar in late July. On Tuesday, some of the victims took refuge in the embassy of the United States, but they were driven away with tear gas, as denounced by the National Network for the Defense of Human Rights. A week later, the displaced people denounced the terrible conditions they have in the schools and criticized the inaction of the Tabar City Council, as well as the absence of plans to relocate them. The number of Haitians displaced by violence has increased in recent years, and a boom in kidnappings is also reported in the Port-au-Prince metropolitan area. And this is all for today. We'll be back tomorrow with more news on the Caribbean that unites us.